Welcome, everyone, to TubaCast episode 15. This is the second part of our deer camp story. I'm your host, Christopher, and my brother Matthew and dad Alton return. This podcast picks up right where the first one left off. And so without further ado, here we go. Hey, you were telling me about...
Boy?
Yeah, what was the deal with Boy? We took him out at night or something?
Yeah. Okay, so there was a... One guy who came out there, his name was, I don't know if his name was, but everyone called him Bubba. He brought his son out there, and I don't remember what his son's name was, but we called him Boy.
Boy.
Yeah, hey, Boy. And, you know, his dad is pretty cool. He's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. You guys go have fun. So I mean, okay, so the first story was.
Wait, how old was he? He was a lot younger than us.
He was like 12, I think.
Yeah, and we were in high school, college?
We were in college.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like, you know, I had my little 22 pistol, and he's like, oh, I want to shoot. You know, and I was like, hey, you know, Bubba, is it cool if, you know, Boy shoots this pistol? Because, you know, you always check with the parent, right? And he's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so, you know, I was like, okay, cool, you know, you shoot this target. And I kind of was reading his body language or whatever, and I'm like, Boy, have you ever actually shot a pistol? And he's like, no. And it was kind of like, I was like amazed that his father – one, had never had him shoot a pistol, because that kind of was surprising. Two, he's like, yeah, just have this other kid show you how to shoot a pistol. I was like, I don't want that kind of responsibility. But, you know, we got through it, no big deal. And then maybe that evening, it was dark out. It was after dinner. It was probably 9 o'clock at night, and everyone goes to bed about 10. So, I mean, it as far as deer camp goes, it was late. And I think we either had the dune buggy or a Jeep, and Christopher and I were going to go way out to like the edge of the camp. And there's a canyon there, and there's a bunch of caves, and we were going to go check out one of the caves and, you know, just kind of those scary, spooky things, probably try to scare each other, maybe run into a condor, cause there are condors out there, or vultures, and who knows what else. So we're going to go. And Boy's like, I want to go. We're like, no. You know, because it's dark out there, it's going to be scary, and, you know, he's like 12 years old, and we don't really trust him with a gun. So he's like, I want to go, and we're like, you know, hey, Bubba, is it cool? I mean, he wants to go, and he's like, yeah, sure, go ahead, you guys have fun. So we're like, all right, if you're sure, but we're not turning back. I mean, we're going to go, and he's like, okay, I'm ready. So we get in the Jeep, and we head out, and, you know, you got to wonder what's going on with all those adults in a trailer that they let two college boys go out with a 12-year-old. With loaded guns in pitch darkness, you know? But so we start going, and we got maybe 100 yards from the deer camp, and all of a sudden, Boy just started freaking out. He got so scared. He's like, turn back. Oh, man, I'm scared. Turn back. I'm playing. It's not cool anymore. I don't want to go. And we're like, nope, too bad. We told you. So, you know, it was a long drive, and I'm sure, you know, we kind of amped it up a little bit. You know, like, did you hear that? What's going on? So, you know, we're getting close to the stopping point. He's like, you know, we're getting out of the trailer. And he's like, I need a gun. Give me a gun, guys. This is scary. And I think he wanted to wait in the Jeep. And we're like, okay, bye. And we started walking. And, of course, he's not going to wait by himself. So he's like, no, you know, wait up, guys. And we're like, all right, should be quiet. You know, do you hear that? What's going on? You know? And so he's like, give me a gun. Now, did we give him a gun?
I don't know if we did or if we gave one, but we didn't give him any bullets.
I think I gave him my pistol, but I mean, I emptied the clip because I wasn't stupid, right? And I'm like, here you go. And he's like, oh, it's empty, man. Give me some bullets. We're like, no way in hell. And I think we made him walk in front.
Hey, did we ever go to the cave or did we turn back?
We didn't go. I don't think we went because he was pretty scared.
Yeah. Well, which, you know, goes back to what we were saying at the beginning. It is scary out there because it's pitch black and you can't see anything. All you can see is your flashlight. There's nobody that can help you. There's no lights. If you fall and break your ankle, you're screwed. You have to hop back on your own because maybe they'll find you in the morning, you know. And no one even knows where we were. You know, they didn't know where we were going. We're going out to that ravine, but that ravine's, you know, a mile long.
Yeah.
It could take a day or two for somebody to find you. So, you know, I mean, there are some real concerns. And, you know, a 12-year-old, I'm sure I'd be scared, but, yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was just – I mean, you really have to be there. The story doesn't do it justice. But I mean, it was just hilarious. Like, give me a gun. There's no bullets. Like, dude, you're 12.
That was the only time he was ever out there with us, wasn't it?
He was out there one more time when we went out. We went out kind of off season to do maintenance.
Oh, okay.
And we cleared a bunch of brush and whatnot, and he was out there then. Because I'm looking at a picture right now. He's like helping me roll a tire so we can put it on the roof of the trailer.
Oh, I don't think I was there for that one.
I don't think you were.
That might have been the only one I missed. Oh, I think I had finals or something that day. Yeah, that sucked.
Oh, whatever. That wouldn't have stopped you.
There was one time that I couldn't go because I had a final on a Saturday. I was so mad. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But, yeah, he plays, I think he's college football now.
Yeah, I think he got a scholarship or some, or what, did he go to West Point, Dad, or A&M or something?
I don't know. I mean, I just know he's in college.
Yeah, he did good for himself, it looked like. Okay, so one of the things is in the afternoon and in the evenings, there's the, I will say this about our group. There's a lot of liquor there. There's a lot of just huge, you know, fifths of whiskey and scotch and rum. Because a lot of the groups, they go out and they'll just get drunk, and then they'll drive around. Like, they'll all pile in the Jeeps drunk, drive around, and I think just shoot from the Jeeps drunk as can be.
Yeah, yeah, there are some groups. With...
You might not want to put that on.
But, you know, the people we were with never really drank that much. I mean, you know, you would kind of expect some of those guys to get pretty lit. But no one other than, well, maybe Gary, ever really drank a lot.
Well, that's because they were more – the ones who didn't drink, they were pretty – they were the serious hunters. So they didn't want to be hungover the next morning when, you know, the ones who did drink were the ones who didn't really, you know, care so much about hunting like Gary and us.
But one of the things we would do is, you know, like in the evenings, whatnot, you play games, shoot the breeze. Yeah, it's when you're bonding with each other. We would play what we coined Ranch Uno, also known as Crack Cocaine Uno.
Yeah, or Go F Yourself Uno.
Yeah. You want to explain the rules to that?
Okay, so somehow we started playing Uno. I don't think we ever played poker or anything. It was always Uno, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
So we started playing Uno, and I guess one of us had the idea that when you win...
Yeah, that'd be me.
When you win a hand of Uno, you get to make up a rule. And that rule can be anything. Like, the next... Whoever plays a three has to draw a card. Or if you play a yellow card, everybody switches hands. Whatever you want. And the next person that wins... They get to make a rule, but that rule takes place after the previous rule. So, like I said, if you're the first person and your rule is if you play a three, you have to draw a card. Well, let's say the next person wins and they say if you play a yellow card, everybody switches hands. Well, the next person that plays a yellow three, well, they have to draw a card and then everybody switches hands. So... Yeah, it sounds pretty fun and pretty interesting, and it is. But what happens is, after you get like 10 or 12 rules, it gets complicated. Because you have to, every time somebody plays a card, you got to go, wait, wait, wait. And then you got to go down all the rules. And, man, the games can last, what, hour, 2 hours? We actually,
but it's so much fun, too, though.
Probably one of the most fun games I've ever played.
Yes, you got to write as you. So when you start a new game, you learn to have a pad and pencil and write the rules down.
Oh yeah, yeah. We actually got to where on one of the games we had to make up a rule to counteract some of the other rules because no one could win the game. It just kept going on and on and on, and we're like, okay, well, we need to make a rule where you lose some cards or something because the game just wouldn't end. But it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it if you're an Uno fan or not an Uno fan. It's really, really fun because you can make up any rules you want, and you can make up a rule that screws with somebody else's rule, or that makes it even harder for, you know, another type of rule. It's really fun.
But the way it came about was, you know, the way we always played as a family was if you play a draw two, let's say you know the sequence is. You, Christopher, and then me, and then Dad, okay? And Christopher plays a draw two. By the rules, I have to draw two cards, and then it's Dad's turn. But the way we always played as a family was Christopher plays a draw two, it's my turn, I have to draw two unless I have another draw two card. If I do, I can play that draw two card on top of Christopher's, and now it's Dad's turn, and he has to draw four, two and two, unless he has a draw two, and then he plays it down, and then it would go back to Christopher, who would have to draw six, unless he had a draw two, and then he'd play that, it would be to me to draw eight. And to me, that was just, that was a rule of Uno. You know, everyone has their own house rules. And when I was playing with my roommates in college, they're like, no, that's not a rule. And so it kind of got me thinking, well, maybe we should amend the rule somehow so that I can get that in there, because that's kind of crucial to Uno.
Yeah.
And it just became this horrible mutation. But, you know, until you play it, it's hard to explain. It's just so much fun.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yes, especially if you've got about six or seven players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It...
And that's when games get long, and that's when you start drinking.
I wish we had a video camera back then and just recorded while we played, because it was so much fun, just all the joking and the BSing, and, you know, you'd throw your card down and you'd be like, draw four, loser, you know, and then you'd end up having to draw eight or something.
Yeah, right.
Hey, who is the guy? Remember the guy that never played with us?
And he, Robert?
Yeah.
that's not funny.
Tell us about Robert.
Yeah, Dad.
No, y'all just keep going.
Well, you know, you kind of hit on something about, you know, I don't remember what you just said, but it's really, and this is a good closing statement, it's really all about the people out there, because we were always with a bunch of really good people, and everybody was nice, everybody was polite, we were all out there to have fun, we became fast friends, and even if you got a deer, if you didn't, if you were out there to hunt, or you're just out there to be in nature, it was really all about the camaraderie with your fellow man. It was bonding. It was really a bunch of male bonding in a very positive way, and it was really awesome. I mean, you know, I'll always treasure those memories, because, I mean, that's just gold.
Yeah, we were with a great group that, we drank and we BS, but no, I mean, there was no rowdy yelling or fighting or not really any bad cussing. No one was like telling bawdy stories or like just being a jerk. I mean, everybody got along for the most part. I mean, there's different personalities, but everybody had fun, and yep. We actually learned stuff, you know, and like, you know, I never really went there to hunt. I never, you know, other than shooting at the deer one time, I never shot anything. I just went just for the fun of it. And, so there's, so there's this one guy. What was his name again? What did you say?
Robert.
And Robert was real serious, wasn't it? And every time he said something, he would like say something like depressing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, Robert's a great, you know, I mean, he was great, really nice. But, you know, me and Matthew, we went there, we just wanted to goof off. We just wanted to have fun and just, you know, I just wanted to act a fool and just cut loose. And so we would just goof around, tell jokes, you know. But Robert was always like, that's not funny. That's not funny. What was that one thing he said something about his mom? Oh, weren't we telling mama jokes?
Yeah.
So we were telling your mama jokes because, you know, we were both in college. And I know at least with some of my friends in college, it was kind of real big right then. It was just your mama this, your mama that. And no one, of course, ever means anything by it. It's just funny, you know. Oh, your mama's so fat. You know, I'm not really calling your mama fat. It's just a funny joke. And so we were doing that all day there. And then Robert was like, that's not funny. Oh, no. So we said some kind of, oh, hey, Robert, your mama's so old, she owes Jesus money or something like that, you know. And he goes, that's not funny. My mama is old. But, you know, we're not like even paying any attention, you know, we don't care. We weren't like really saying his mom was old, but so that ended the your mama jokes. And he didn't play Uno with us either, did he? Or was that Gary?
He didn't know he did.
Gary,
he did.
Gary would, you know, because all he wanted to do was play poker. Nobody else.
Yeah.
And I guess he couldn't get a poker game going.
Yeah, he just sat and watched us and drank the whole time. But yeah, that's pretty funny. Robert was funny because you would try to do things to just to make him laugh because he was so serious.
And then there was one time Gary was out there, and you know I used to go to Gary's lease with him, and he's a great guy. But he had been drinking, and he was talking about, I guess, his daughter was single at this point in time, and I guess he was trying to hook me up with her, you know. And I'm like, no, that's fine, no thanks. But he just, you know, kept going on, you know. And he's like, oh, you know, you're a good guy, and she's, you know, she's a good woman, you know, blah blah blah. He said, but if you ever treat her wrong, you're gonna answer to me. And he got like dead serious. He's like, you know, I got this real nice six shooter, and I was like, holy crap, dude. It's like, I don't care, go away.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you like looked in his eyes, and it was like I had already like did something bad to his daughter, and he had like that like scary eye going on. Oh, dude, remember? So Richard again was the guy who ran the camp. He was a cut up when he was younger, and you know I guess he took to you and I, or to you and me. And one time we snuck into his bedroom. Because he was in the master trailer. We snuck into his room and, like, didn't we in the toilet put a rabbit's head?
No, didn't we talk about doing it, but we didn't?
I thought we put something in there.
I know we talked about doing that and, like, scratching the window at night and stuff, but did we actually put it in there?
Did we scratch the window?
No, I know we talked about doing stuff and everybody was like, no, that ain't funny. You're going to get shot. Did we put the rabbit head in there?
I don't know. I don't think we did, but we did something. We put something in there. We put something in his room.
Maybe it was some ears or something.
I don't remember, but we put something in his room. We were going to put a severed rabbit's head in his toilet. Can you imagine that?
That would have been awesome. Yeah, I remember that time he was telling us how he can't take... was it morphine or something? Because he got hurt, and they gave him morphine, and he thought he saw gremlins crawling all over him, and they were going to come and stab him. It was like, we were like, yeah, it's a good thing we're sleeping in the other trailer. Yeah, he always, Richard always had the, was it called euphemisms, or? Is that
I'm
the word?
Think of some...
Oh, I can't say that one.
I can't say. I'm trying to think of something I can say on the air.
Well, there's the one richer than 9 foot up a bull's butt.
Oh yeah.
But with different words. He always had stuff like that.
I'm happier than a two-pecker dog.
Two-pecker possum.
Two-pecker possum.
Two-pecker possum. All right.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, he's like a whorehouse. He's fun to visit, but you wouldn't want to live next to him.
Man, I want to go back so bad.
Do they still do it?
I think so. But I don't think it's in the same place we were. Well, I know it's not.
Oh, really?
I remember that the time that I found that buzzard nest with the eggs. I showed y'all the cave, right, with the eggs?
Yeah.
So I was out walking, and... There's like a dried up riverbed that goes through the place, and it's got these kind of tall rock cliff, I guess is what you'd call it. And I was walking through one part, and I guess the rocks were maybe 10, 15, 20 feet high. And I was walking down the riverbed, and there was like a little cave up there, and I was like, oh, sweet, I found a cave. So I started crawling up the side to get to the cave, and then this huge thing just came out of the cave. And I wasn't... at the time really looking up at the cave, I was just kind of crawling up, and I just saw this huge shadow and heard this like whooshing noise, like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And it scared the crap out of me because I didn't expect anything to come flying out of the cave. And I screamed so loud, I mean it was horrible, like my chest hurt and I couldn't breathe, and I just ran back down to the rocks. I was like, what the hell was that? And I was just out of breath, and I was panting. And the first thing, I was like, oh, no. I bet everybody heard me at deer camp.
Hey, you know what? You're off my apocalypse team.
I was so scared. And so then I realized it was something flew out of the cave, like a big bird. And I was like, oh, it must be, you know, buzzard or whatever. So then I crawled back up there and went into the, it was like a little bitty cave. And there was eggs in there. And I guess it was the eggs from the buzzard. So I left. And then I brought, I guess, I don't know, did I bring you dad too?
Yeah, I think we drove back in a Jeep, didn't we?
Yeah, and so I showed you the eggs or whatever. But man, that was the, I've never screamed that hard in my life. It was horrible. See, saw a ringtail out there. That was pretty neat. They're really cute. They're like kind of like little bitty skinny raccoons. It's kind of like a little ferret.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you tell them about the transients?
Yeah. Okay. So. So like earlier we mentioned that the ranch is what, maybe was it 100 miles or less from the border?
I think it was 90 minutes from Del Rio.
From Del Rio. So it's really close to the border, and between this ranch and the border is just more of the same kind of land. There's no towns or anything. It's just more ranch land. And since it's so close to the border, apparently a lot of people from Mexico would walk through that ranch to get to, you know, wherever they're going, another town looking for work or whatever. So the ranch had to lock up their food and stuff because they would break into the trailers looking for food or water or whatever. And
but they never would take any of the guns.
Well, I don't think any were left there.
Well, no, because they broke in one time. We weren't there, but it was a week before or something, and everybody was actually out at the lease. Or, I mean, out at the blinds, and they, I think they broke in, but they would never take any firearms or ammunition, which is smart.
Yeah, and so sometimes if you were out, you know, like me and, you know, me and Matthew, we were the ones who usually just walked all over the place. So you had to, we were sort of like in your back of your mind that you might run across somebody else out there and you might spook them, or they might, you know. So that you always had to be, you know, just kind of cautious that you might actually come across somebody else out there. And sometimes you would find little campsites where there was like tuna cans or little fire. Didn't you actually see somebody, Dad?
Yeah, once when I was out, I was following some turkeys. I saw a guy. I go, what the heck? Who's this guy? Who's out here hunting? He was just kind of walking around. And I went to look for him, and I guess he saw me. And next thing I know, he's gone. So he must have hid underneath something, because I looked for him and I never found him. And then I think one of the times when we was leaving, we left the ranch and we drove along the road and we saw a couple of guys walking right next to the fence next to the road through the property with backpacks.
Yeah.
You just have to be careful. I haven't heard of anybody being hurt or anything from the people, you know, illegal immigrants coming in. But you did have to be aware that they could be out there.
Yeah. Especially since, like we mentioned all throughout this episode, is you're out there alone.
Yeah, if there's,
you know, and most of what they, you know, the people at the camp told us was, oh, they're just workers, you know, they're work passing through or whatever. And, you know, and if whatever, everyone's got to make a living. But, you know, you don't know if some of those are drug runners. And if you're out there, you know, within, you know, a couple hundred square acres all by yourself and you run across someone, you know, it's just the two of you out there.
Or it could be two or three of them and one of you.
Yeah.
I remember one time we went out there, and so like earlier Dad had mentioned that, you know, it's a long drive to get to the camp and it's real slow with rocks. And there's one part where you drive across that dry riverbed that I had mentioned. And you go down and you come back up and it's all rocks or whatever. And a lot of the roads are just dirt road. It's just dirt. And one time we were out there and it was usually we got there on a Friday. You stayed Saturday and you came back Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. And I think it was Saturday night. It looked like a big storm was coming. You could see lightning and stuff off in the distance. And some of the guys were saying, you know, this big storm's coming, you know, it may just pour here tonight and it's going to wash out some of the roads and that river's going to flood and we won't be able to get across. And I was like, oh wow, man, that's going to be cool. It's going to be muddy. We're going to have lots of fun. And then, they're saying, well, if the river doesn't flood too bad, we could drive a Jeep across and, you know, maybe pull the other cars across or, you know, maybe we could, you know, at least get across with the Jeep and go to town. And then they're like, well, if it floods too much, we're going to be stuck out here for a couple days till the water goes down. And this was when I was, you know, in college, and I was like, hey, I got to get back to school on Monday. And so I was like, hey, maybe we should get our vehicles and move them to the other side of the river, you know, the dry riverbed, just in case, you know, and then we could just, you know, swim across or take a rope or a Jeep or, you know, whatever, but at least our vehicles will be on the other side. I got to get back to school, you know, I was kind of worried. And they were like, oh, whatever, don't worry about it. And I was like, but I am. And then, but it never rained or anything.
But I think that, you know, that that was always a possibility. It could rain, and because it was so rocky, you know, the water didn't sink into the ground. It would run, and it may stay there. So, you know, that was a good plan there to put at least one vehicle on the other side, so that if we couldn't make it across, you could maybe put a rope. You can't pull somebody across if you're not already across.
Yeah.
I got another story. When we were out at Gary's, I don't think you ever went there, Christopher. It's just Dad and I.
Yeah.
The big thing for me that was fun, I think I only went two or three times, but the big thing that was fun was we'd go rabbit hunting at night. We kind of pile in the back of a pickup and, you know, we'd spotlight. Is that illegal, Dad? Spotlight rabbits?
I don't know. Probably is. I don't know. Okay, no. We'll say no.
You can cut this part out then. But, you know, we'd go out there and you'd see a rabbit and Gary would, like, kind of shine a light on him or whatever so we could see what we were doing. And you know, like, Dad and I would shoot at him and maybe someone else. And we shot a lot of rabbits, and two things that kind of stand out is one time we were shooting at a rabbit, and one rabbit jumped like 4 feet straight up vertical, just straight up. I've never seen a rabbit jump straight up. So that was interesting. And then the other one was Dad and I were kind of – a rabbit had run into a bush, and so, you know, I was in front, so I was kind of close to the bush, and a rabbit was a little bit ahead of me to the left. And, you know, he kind of started moving and I was going to shoot him. All of a sudden I felt this blast of wind and the bush in front of me and maybe 2 or 3 feet to my left just got shredded. And I looked back and Dad had shot at the rabbit. He, like, with me in front of his gun, he shot at the rabbit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that, Pops? Well, I mean, with a shot, I guess I use a shotgun.
Yeah. I use a shotgun.
Yeah, so hunter safety lesson number one, don't shoot if there's someone in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So one time we were out at you were out at your father-in-law's land, and you're with your two brother-in-laws. It was your two brother-in-laws, one of their cousins who had a shotgun he found in a dump.
Yeah, he sawed it off.
Yeah, he was a little interesting guy. And you know, we were just out there telling ghost stories, walking around. And I think we were – oh, man, snake hunting.
Snake hunting.
Here's a whole episode.
Yeah.
So we were out snake hunting, and I believe I had
– okay, wait. Let me set it up.
Okay.
Okay, so my wife was – yeah, just my wife then, right? Yeah. Okay, so my wife's dad – had some land sort of out in the country. I don't know what it was, 20 acres maybe. But behind them, or next to them, her cousins kind of lived out there. And behind them was some guy that had a whole bunch of land, and there was a lot of trees, and there was a pond out there. And so me and Matthew and my two brother-in-laws, and then I think their two little cousins, we were going to go out at night and go to this pond and go snake hunting, because supposedly there's a lot of snakes out there. And there's like a little drainage ditch kind of thing. It was pretty big, and it had water in it, and there's supposed to be a lot of snakes in there, and they, you know, let's just go hunt snakes. So one night we, I don't know, Friday or Saturday night, we drove out there and met them. And I guess what me and Matthew, we were what, just now in college maybe, or high school?
Yeah. No, we were in college.
We were in college, so the two brother-in-laws, they were in high school, and the cousins were maybe freshmen, maybe, I think the youngest one might have been like middle school, right? Because they were pretty young. Or maybe they were all in high school. I don't know. But I know the little one was pretty young. Okay, so go ahead.
I'm trying to remember the sequence. So we were out snake hunting, and I had a shotgun. I had my short shotgun 12-gauge, and someone else had a 410, and everyone else had like 22s.
Which were useless.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's dark out. And
we had one flashlight. Yeah, two.
Two flashlights between all of us. And a 22, you got to be a good shot to hit a snake, especially at night. And, there's a bunch of big, fat grass snakes out there. And there's a pond. Is that the drainage ditch you're talking about?
Remember we walked way out there, and there's just a pond out in the middle of, like, the forest.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we start walking around this pond, and it's late at night. So, again, it's you got to imagine it's really dark and whatnot. And at one point, there's a snake kind of, sunning in the moonlight, whatever. And someone shot at it with a 22 or something. I don't know. And it just starts zipping right towards us.
Yes.
And it was a black snake, and it was dark out. And I think I just shot straight from the hip, and I'm kind of proud of this because I just shot. You can put me back on your apocalypse team. I shot straight from the hip, and I nailed it. I mean, it was just, and it was pretty close to us.
Yeah, it was coming head on, full on speed. I mean, it was scary.
Yeah, and when I hit it, it was maybe 10, 12 feet away. And then they went up and, like, shot the heck out of it just to shoot it. It turned out to be a cottonmouth water moccasin, which is, like, the most aggressive snake or one of the most aggressive snakes in South Texas. Very poisonous. And we saw that,
which,
and we realized that, we're like, this isn't fun anymore, you know? Someone's going to die.
Yeah, but didn't we walk around and just shoot a whole bunch of snakes?
Oh, yeah.
But was that before that one came after? It was after that, right?
It was before and a little bit after.
Because there's a bunch of snakes. I mean, we were young, and, hey, let's go shoot snakes. And once you shoot a big, giant cottonmouth moccasin that's coming after you, you ought to just, okay, time to go home. But, we just kept looking for more snakes.
Right. Here's a bit of gun safety for you. As we were walking in a group, and these guys were younger, they lived more in the country than I certainly did. So, you'd expect them to know better. They were walking with their guns pointed at the back of the person in front of them.
Yes. We got behind all of them.
Absolutely. Because it's like, they're going to shoot each other. We're just going to stay in the back.
Yeah. I remember, being nervous about snakes in the dark. And I was nervous about these because we didn't know them too well. I mean, they were my brother-in-law, but I wasn't, like, really super close. And I didn't know the cousins that well. I didn't see them that much. They were, they were my wife's cousins. And they were young, and they're walking out there, like nothing with these guns. And, I thought they were kind of young to have the guns. And one of them had made his own sawed-off shotgun. And I was like, oh, man, I was – more scared of getting shot than a snake biting me. But, we walked up and down that that drainage ditch and just shot tons of snakes because they were just swimming in the water.
Yeah.
Man, it was fun. It was crazy. I don't know how many snakes we shot.
And then, at this point, it was probably 11 o'clock midnight. So, I mean, it's pitch dark. We got two flashlights. The batteries are pretty weak. And it's like, okay, well, let's start to head back. And then they inform us that there's hogs out here, and the hogs will charge you.
Right.
And so we're walking back, and I'm kind of in the, again, we're walking in the back of the group, and it's like, if a hog comes out and we don't get shot by these guys just because they start panicking, I have the only gun that stands any chance at all, which would be my 12-gauge shotgun, because I think I had put buckshot in for the walk back. And I was like, man, we're so screwed if a hog comes at us. We're so screwed. It was a scary walk back because,
Yeah, here's a couple tips for those of you who might want to adventure into this at some point. Number one, don't go with crazy young cousins you don't know very well. Number two, do not let one of them take a homemade sawed-off shotgun. They got from a dump. Number three, if you do go snake hunting in the middle of the night and you find a pond with literally like 10 or 20 snakes in it and they happen to be moccasins, get out. Number four, take more than one or two flashlights if there's five of you. And number six, take the appropriate weapons because my .22 was useless. I couldn't do anything. I had to keep borrowing a shotgun.
Or and didn't the kid who had the .410, he freaked out or he fell down. and to prop himself up, he stuck his gun barrel in the mud. Yeah. So his .410, or maybe it was a 12 gauge, was completely clogged with mud.
Right. So we had one gun. Yeah, because I remember we were walking around and that snake came at us and we had the one flashlight. I guess the other guy was maybe pointed the other direction. I just remember yelling, "Get the light on it, shoot it, shoot it." And we were all just running. And I just remember seeing this snake like coming like crazy and then seeing the shotgun blast like light up the area. Man, that was crazy. It's just amazing we didn't, one of us didn't get shot or bit. Because we were just stomping around out there, you know. two flashlights, you know, just all these snakes. Man, it was awesome, though. That was a crazy night.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went to a deer camp with Dad, we went to this little one outside of Victoria, and it had an old wooden house. And I think it was just me and Dad were there, and we spent the night, and it was really cold, and we were in our sleeping bags in the... They had one bed, so we were in the same bed. And then in the morning, a mouse was running around in the room. And then I think we saw a fox, which is, I think, the first time I've ever seen a fox in the wild. That was pretty neat. And then I remember one night we were walking around, and we came upon an armadillo, and we shined a light on him. I guess he was eating or something, and he just jumped straight up in the air. And I think he turned around in the air, like, as he was jumping up, and then he ran off. But he jumped, you know, like 3 feet in the air. It's crazy. And then, I guess it was maybe that same night, it started pouring down rain. And it was real muddy. And did they have to come pull us out?
Or they didn't pull us out, but they came and got us. And I think we finished cleaning the deer in the rain, and then we drove out. And in muddy ruts just before it got too muddy.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they came to get us to make sure we didn't get stuck there in the mud or something, right, before it got too bad.
Yeah.
And we were happening to leave at the same time. Yeah, I just remember, like, driving through this mud thinking we're going to get stuck out there.
But the night before, you had mentioned we saw this armadillo. I believe there was this tree that was kind of big tree was bent down at like at a 45 degree angle. And I believe this is the place where we kind of crawled up in that tree. And we, you know, heck, that's kind of a neat thing. You don't get to kind of crawl up trees. So we kind of, you know, we crawled up that tree, this big tree that was laying in a 45 degree angle. And next thing we know, we heard this noise. Well, it was a possum.
Oh, yeah.
And we was in the possum's tree, and he couldn't get in the tree because we were sitting there blocking his way. That's the first time I heard a possum making all that noise.
Speaking of possums, this is totally unrelated except for the possum. But in Austin, I was out.
That's great. Speaking of possums, this is unrelated except for the possum.
I went out We went out one night to some bars or whatever with me and a couple guys, and we came back and we're dropping one of the guys off at the apartment or whatever. And I forgot what we were doing, but we were in the parking lot, and he went, I don't know if he went to go pee or what, but he went over by the dumpster, and there was a possum behind the dumpster. And so he went over there and was just like yelling at it, trying to make it mad. He was getting closer and closer, and the possum was in the corner. He had nowhere to go. And this guy had bottled water, and he was like throwing water at the possum, and he was drunk. You know, he didn't know what he was doing. And I was like, dude, that possum's going to kill you. It was a big possum, and it was just mad, and you could just see his teeth. And there's this drunk guy just yelling at it, getting closer and closer, throwing water on him. I'm like, what are you doing? So I left him and went home. No, we pulled him away. The leader of the camp, Richard, the one who had all the great phrases and sayings, he also liked to pepper his conversation with choice cuss words a lot. But it wasn't like dirty or, you know, it's just, you know, cuss words. And I, you know, and so you're out there for like 2.5 days just hanging out or whatever. And I always remember whenever I would come home, it would take me like a week to like get back to talking like how I used to, because I would just be cussing like crazy for a week. Because I kind of picked up his, you know, the way he talked. And, you know, you kind of immerse yourself in it when you're out there. You just sort of like become one of the boys or whatever. And it always take me a couple of days to get back to normal.
Is there anything you want to say about Moxie Gimba?
Oh, yeah. That's not hunting, but the four-wheeling?
Well, we went out there to hunt.
Okay, so what happened, Dad? You won a day's use of a day hunt through an auction?
Oh yeah, I was at a family reunion, and this family put up a, you know, they have these to help pay for their family reunion. You have a little auction. People will bring things to auction, you know, plants and bottles of wine. And so this family said, "Hey, whoever top bidder of this auction gets to come to our place outside of San Antonio and have a hog hunt on us." So actually, your mom did the bidding and won it, and so. Us three went out there, right?
Right. And so I met y'all, and it was –
Right, we all met, right,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you came with Dad or not.
I think I met up to Dad, and then he and I drove in together and met you.
Okay, because they had that little bar at the town. Anyway, yeah. So the
– And this was after college.
This was after college, and
– This was only like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It was not too long ago. And so the guy had, I don't know, what, it wasn't too big, 20, 30, 40 acres maybe?
It was a couple hundred, wasn't it?
Was it that big?
50, 75? He had a lot of land. I mean, it wasn't 5,000, but he had a good amount.
Because I know when you got up on the deer stand, you could see all the property. Well, anyway. Okay, so we go out there, and I don't remember doing any hunting. All I remember doing is hauling ass on his four-wheelers. And we just drove nonstop on those four-wheelers. And there was one part where you kind of go down into like a little basin. And you could, if you came out fast enough, you would just fly in the air and just come down on the side of like the hill.
Yeah. This, yeah.
And you did it when Dad was riding on the back of your four-wheeler. And you didn't tell him you were going to do it.
Did I fall off?
No,
you slammed your head in the back of me.
Oh, okay. Serves you right.
No, I thought you like broke your nose or something because you hit me pretty hard.
I remember now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it needs to be pointed out that we totally caught air multiple times.
Oh yeah.
On those four-wheelers.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we're going about 30 miles per hour, which doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're in a four-wheeler in the woods, no seatbelt, no helmet, going 30, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just trees on the side of you, you know.
There was one time we, I think you were in front, and it was the first time we went down one of the sides of the land, because there's a fence on the right-hand side, and we're gunning it, you know, just getting up to speed, and all of a sudden, you know, you just slam on your brakes and barely stopped in time because the road just ended in this giant, like, hole in the ground.
Yeah, yeah, the path went to the left, but it was our first time on it, and we didn't know it, and it looks like it goes straight. So, you know, hey, yeah, let's do it. And then it's just a huge ditch, and you have to turn left. Oh, man, that was fun out there.
Yeah, and if you didn't catch that, you would totally just wrecked the four-wheeler and probably died.
Yeah, yeah, you would have broke your neck flying off that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember hunting at all. I just remember driving four-wheelers all the time. Did we hunt at all? Did Dad hunt?
Yeah, we did. We didn't see any hogs, but I did get a coyote.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, and then that night, he was barbecuing, and I went out on the lake with his son to check the
– You and I? Yeah, you and I.
Okay, you were with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a little pond there, and y'all went out in a boat?
Yeah, yeah, and he was checking for catfish that was on the trout line that was across the pond.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, it kind of goes back to the construction lease where you're out there and you're so alone. we're with this guy in a small aluminum boat.
Yeah, it was tiny.
And it's just the three of us in this big old lake. And, you know, you can see the shore and you can see a couple lights on the house or whatnot. But, you know, you can see the lights. But, man, you're in the middle of a lake. And it's like if that boat tipped over, it's so dark out there. It was kind of scary.
I remember thinking that I was just hoping that it wouldn't tip with all of us in it. You know, because he was just like, yeah, whatever, and just pulling on the trout line or whatever. And I was like, oh, the boat's going to tip.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. That that's what I do when I go out to Sarah's dad. They live out in the country, and he's got a four-wheeler out there. And whenever we go, that's usually what I'll do, at least at some point, is get on the four-wheeler, kick it in fifth gear, and drive it as fast as I can out there. And sometimes there's water, sometimes there's mud. Yeah, another tip. I know you probably don't think of it, but if you do get a chance to ride a four-wheeler in fifth gear out in the country over hills and mud and sticks and stuff, you want to wear a helmet. I keep forgetting. Oh, yeah, it's crazy. I go as fast as I can and turn, you know, without slowing down and stuff. It's fun. Driving a four-wheeler is fun.
You have two kids.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, you know what? The funny thing is, Ariana, like, whenever I'm out there with the kids and the nephews and nieces, they all want me to give them rides on the four-wheeler and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there are sometimes I've had five kids on that thing, you know, and, of course, I don't go fifth gear.
Wait, at one time?
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to steer. Because what happens is you usually – especially, you know, and here's a tip from experience. If you have, you know, let's say more than three kids, don't go in fifth gear. I'm just kidding. I've never done that. But what always happens is they all want to ride with me, and I try to take one or two, but then you have to leave other kids behind and nobody wants to be left behind. So they all pile on and, you know, then they all want to steer. And one of them's like, usually what happens is I'll steer cause I don't trust any of them cause they're crazy. Cause you know, little kids like, yeah, let's do it. And, I'll let one of them do the throttle, which basically means all out. And so I try to steer while, you know, they're going as fast as they can. And what's funny is whenever, sometimes if it's just me and Ariana, or like me and Ariana and her cousin, Ariana always wants to steer and she wants to press the throttle. Now, you know, she's 3.5 and she floors it and she tries to steer and she gets mad at me when I try to steer. And none of the kids are happy unless I'm going at least fourth gear, which is kind of scary. but it's fun. Four-wheelers are fun. It sounds real like hick and country, but it's really fun because you're just driving out, just you and this little machine in the air. It's kind of like a little convertible, you know, but
in the air.
But it's it's off road, you know. Okay, well, is that it then?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's gonna do it for us. Thank you for listening to TupaCast. You can check out the website at ctupa.com. You can contact me by christophertupa@hotmail.com. If you have any suggestions, topic ideas, or if you want to guest host with us, just let us know. And I guess that's it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.